The train ride to London is the most exciting yet. It is exhilarating to have such a powerful secret. I do feel a touch of remorse for tricking Lafarge, whom I like, but it was necessary, and I cannot deny that there is a thrill in knowing how easy it is to secure our freedom. Freedom. We'll have more of that. Curiously, I find that as I make use of the magic, I feel better, more alive and awake, nearly giddy. "What shall you do in London today, Mademoiselle Lafarge?" I ask. "I've arrangements to make for the wedding," she says with a happy sigh. "You must tell us simply everything," Felicity insists, and we badger her with questions. Will she carry a fan? Will there be lace? A veil? Will she have orange blossoms embroidered on her dress for luck, as Queen Victoria did? "Oh, no, nothing so grand," she demurs, glancing down at her plump hands resting on her ample lap. "It will be a simple country wedding in the Spence Chapel." "Will you stay on at Spence?" Anne asks, "after you're married?" "That rather depends on Mr. Kent," she answers, as if that settles it.
"Would you want to stay on?" Felicity presses.
"I should like a new life once I am married. In fact, the inspector has begun to ask my thoughts on his cases, to have a woman's perspective. I know it's out of the ordinary for a wife's duties, but I confess I find it quite thrilling."
"That is lovely," Anne says. She's smiling in that romantic way of hers, and I know that in her head she's conjured images of herself bustling about a kitchen, sending her husband off to work with a kiss. I try to imagine myself in such a life. Would I like it? Would I grow bored? Would it be a comfort or a curse? My thoughts turn to Kartik, his lips, his hands, the way he once kissed me. In my mind I see myself running my fingers across those lips, feeling his hands at the nape of my neck. A warm ache settles below my belly. It ignites something deep inside me that I cannot name, and suddenly it's as if I am inside a vision. Kartik and I stand in a garden. His hands are tattooed with henna like an Indian bride's. He takes me into his arms and kisses me under a steady rain of falling petals. He gently lowers the edges of my sari, baring my shoulders, his lips trailing down my bare skin, and I sense that everything between us is about to change. I come back to myself suddenly. My breathing is laboured and I feel flushed from head to toe. No one seems to notice my discomfort, and I do my best to regain my composure.
"I shall never marry," Felicity announces with a wicked smile. "I shall live in Paris and become an artist's model."
She's trying to shock, and Mademoiselle Lafarge supplies the requisite admonishment. "Really, Miss Worthington?" But then she changes course. "Have you no desire for a husband and children, Miss Worthington?" she asks plainly, as if on this train we have ridden from girls to young ladies who might be trusted to hold a different sort of conversation. It is nearly as powerful as the magic, this trust.
"No, I don't," Felicity says.
"And why not?" Lafarge presses.
I wish to live for myself. I should never want to be trapped."
"One needn't be trapped. One's life can be made so rich by sharing burdens and joys."
"I've not seen it to be so," Fee mumbles.
Mademoiselle Lafarge nods, considering. "It takes the right sort of husband, I suppose, the sort who'll be a friend and not a master. A husband who will care for his wife with small, everyday kindnesses and trust her with his confidences. And a wife must be such a friend in return."
"I'd not make a good wife," Felicity says, so softly it is nearly drowned out by the clacking of the train.
"What sorts of goodies will you shop for today?" Anne asks, abandoning the sophisticated Nan for a moment with a single girlish question.
"Oh, me, this and that. Nothing so nice as your necklace, I'm afraid."
Anne takes the pearls from her neck and holds them out.
"I should like you to have this."
Mademoiselle Lafarge pushes them away.
"Oh, no, you are far too kind."
"No," Anne says, blushing, "I'm not. You must have something borrowed, yes?"
"I couldn't possibly," Mademoiselle Lafarge insists.
I take Mademoiselle Lafarge's hand and imagine her in her wedding dress, the pearls at her neck. "Take them," I murmur, and my wish, born on the wings of magic, travels quickly between us and nests inside her. Mademoiselle Lafarge blinks.
"You're certain?"
"Oh, yes, nothing would make me happier." Anne smiles. Mademoiselle Lafarge secures the clasp around her own neck.
"How do they look?"
"Beautiful," we all say as one. Anne, Felicity and Mademoiselle Lafarge fall into easy conversation.
I stare out the train's windows at the hills rolling by. I want to ask them if they know what my future holds. Will my father's health be restored and my family healed? Will I survive my debut? Can I prove myself within the realms and live up to expectations, especially my own?